Praise the Lord. Good to be in church today. How many thank God for electricity? We were without it for 30 hours. And boy, I realize I take for granted too many things in this old life, and I'm so glad I did not live in the 1800s. Can I hear an amen on that one? How many were without power? How many are still without power? Anybody? Okay, got a few. Don't get near them. They're stinky, okay? Now, you still have water?
I still have the power of God.
I still have the power of God. Okay, you have the power of sweat, too. All right. All right, I want to read this from Phoebe. Miss Phoebe, raise your hand. We're so glad you're here. To my church family, thank you so much for all the prayers, cards, texts, calls, and visits. God is good no matter what, and I know He's always with me, but the love and concern for my church family was overwhelming. I can't say thank you enough. Love in Christ, Phoebe Raglan. Phoebe was in the hospital, gave us a scare there for a moment. Her heart rate shot up. They had to shock her heart back into rhythm. And let's continue to pray. She's got some doctor visits and things coming up, but let's continue to pray for her. Well, last week, it's kind of neat how God has put all this together. 2 weeks ago, we had communion, and I just spoke on basic doctrine or basic teaching on the ordinances of the church, baptism and the Lord's table. And that just kind of started. And then last week, I spoke on what it means to live in community as a church. And my three main points was make everybody feel loved. Thank you for making everybody feel loved in our church. Number two, I talked about getting fully involved in the church. And that's so important. If you're going to be here, you might as well just get all the way in. Amen. Not half-hearted, but 100%. And then my last point last week was we experience life together. And then the Lord led me here today. And I just want to talk about being passionate about your church family. Some of the things I'll say today kind of tie in with last week. And so but it's sometimes good. Repetition is the key to learning. And so we're going to see that today. But of course, we're going to dive into some new stuff. But I just wonder, what are you passionate about this morning? Across the country, tennis courts are being replaced by the fastest growing sport in the United States. This popular sport is a cross between table tennis or ping pong, badminton, and tennis. It's easy to learn how to play. It's inexpensive. It's enjoyed by all ages. It's very popular with even the senior adults. It was invented by three vacationers on Bainbridge Island near Seattle in 1965. But it's only become more popular recently. What sport am I talking about? Woo, all right. There are currently 14,000 pickleball courts in the United States and nearly 50 million passionate players. How many in our church play pickleball? Raise your hand. I saw one hand go up, but then they were embarrassed, so they took it back down. You don't have to be embarrassed. I hear it's a lot of fun, but I've never personally done it, but I'd love to try it. But when you talk about 50 million players, okay, you know, that gets your attention. These guys are passionate. You have to buy some equipment to do it, and they're into it. And also I did some research this week, the pickleball restaurant and entertainment model is also gaining steam. Now they have chicken and pickle. How many have ever been to a chicken and pickle? Oh, really? All right, Ryan. Where at? Kyle? Where at? In Missouri, Ryan? All over. They're all over. Okay. Chicken and pickle. And they also have what's called Camp Pickle. All right. I've heard of Camp Bethel and what's the other one? Camp Eagle. But I've never heard of Camp Pickle. But many people are capitalizing on this craze. And it's a big craze right now. It's also, they have an open play format. Okay. What does that mean? That allows players to mix and match with dozens of other players during the same session. So in other words, it's opening up social. You know, you get to know people. Sounds a lot like church, amen? You come to church, you get to know people, and it's a very accessible sport. It is booming in the United States. If y'all want to go play, let's do it. Let's try it out. Let me ask you, what are you passionate about this morning? All of us have an interest. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's a sport. Maybe it's a career, an education, a cause, a pursuit. Something that you care deeply about. You know how you can tell if somebody's passionate about something? They talk about it all the time. And every time you get around them, oh boy, you know it's going to come up. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm asking you today, why can't we be the same way about our church and about our relationship with Jesus and about inviting people to church? Why is it so difficult to hand out a little card and say, hey, come visit. Come to my church. You're invited. Come be my friend next Sunday for Friend Day. Hey, we need to be doing that like crazy this week. These cards are available for you. So we got to be passionate about it. You know, your passion is what you think about, what you talk about, what you dream about. It's what you, listen to this, it's what you give your time to without complaint. Now, you have to do a lot of stuff that you just don't enjoy. And as you're going through it, you're complaining the whole time. Blah, 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 blah. I don't want to do this. How many enjoy mowing the yard? How many enjoy doing it 30 times a year? All right, some of you do. Some of y'all are crazy, okay? I enjoy to a certain point, but man, I have to continually take care of it in the heat of 100 degree weather and all. It gets difficult. So sometimes I complain about it. But if you're passionate about something, you don't complain about it. You're willing to sacrifice for it. Those people that are into pickleball, they've had to sacrifice some money, some time. And I just wanted you to compare that to your involvement in church. Are you passionate about it? Have you ever been so consumed with something that God and His church got pushed aside? A lot of things are overtaking church. Some people are doing things today that years ago they would have never dreamed of. But what it is, they're so passionate about it, and they've given themselves so much to it that they say, oh, what I'm doing today is more important than being in church. Someone put it like this. Are you married to the church or are you just dating the church? Now, dating's fun. And when you're dating your future mate, that's one thing. But the reason I ask it that way is because remember, Jesus views the church like a bridegroom sees his bride. Jesus calls the church the bride of Christ. Y'all remember this? I'm going to show this scripture to you. Ephesians 5:25. Read it with me. Ready? Husbands, love your wives. Hey, let's repeat that because the women want to hear it. Okay, ready? Husbands, love your wives. How many appreciate that, women? Okay. Even as Christ also loved the church. Oh, my goodness. I'm supposed to love Tanya as much as Jesus loved the church? Woo, that's a big statement right there. Jesus gave his life on the cross for the church. But that's how much I'm supposed to love her. All right? And gave himself for it. In other words, Jesus gave up his life for the church, for the bride. If you're saved, you are a member of the body of Christ. That's all believers everywhere. But his plan and purpose for each of us is to have a local church family. Why? Because church matters to him more than we even realize. And I want to make sure you understand how important church is to God. He calls us, he expects us to be an active part of church. If Jesus loved the church, you and I should love it too. How many can say, I love Gospel Light Baptist Church? Amen. We cannot take lightly what God takes so seriously. We can't be flipping about it. We can't be hit and miss and just date the church. Well, I'm going to go a couple of Sundays, then I'm going to skip a couple of months, and then I'll go back. You're dating the church. The Lord wants you to get married to the church, amen, and be here, be involved. I've been a member of five churches in my lifetime. This church, or the church has not been just a little addition in my life. It's been the core of my life. And all my life, I believe it's had an incredible positive impact on me, my wife, my kids. I was saved in church. How many can say that? I grew up in church. Can you say that? I was raised in church. I fell in love in church. I met her in a church parking lot and fell in love. I got married in church. I raised my family in church. All right? So the influence of a local New Testament church has greatly influenced my life. Our family is this church, and this church is our family. You ever looked at it that way? This Wednesday, October 2nd, I'll celebrate 8 years of being your pastor. So I've been a part of this church on October 2nd for 8 years. I just decided one day in my youth, if Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it, then church ought to be of extreme importance to me. I intend to love my church and give myself to it as long as God gives me breath. And I hope you have the same attitude. There's not a day that goes by that I do not pray for the people of this church, for God's direction in this church, and for his presence and power to be evident in this church. I truly believe that loving Jesus involves a passionate commitment to his church. Some have asked about church membership. Now, the Bible does not directly address the concept of formal church membership, but there are several passages that strongly imply its existence in the early church. Look at Acts 2:41. Excuse me. We were here last week in Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 41. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." Okay, baptism takes place after salvation. "And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Notice the words, "added unto them." It seems that somebody was keeping a numerical record of those who were saved, those who were baptized, and thus joined the church. Look at verse 47. "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Each day, the Lord was adding to the church family. As people got saved, they joined the church. All right, turn over to Acts 6. I just want to show you one more scripture. Tanya, could you get me a water? I'm losing it, y'all. All right, look at verse 3 in Acts 6. "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." All right, this is, of course, talking about deacons, and that's not what the message is about. But look at that first phrase, "look ye out among you." All right? The deacons were selected from the members of the church, all right? Church membership was important to them. And church members also, membership should also be important to us, because without it, there can be no accountability, all right? Thank you, dear. All right? Think about this. You don't have to turn there. You can reference it later, but 1 Corinthians 5 gives a passage that deals with blatant, unrepentant sin. They had somebody in the church that was in sin. He refused to repent. And verses 12 and 13 talk about within the church and without the church. Okay? We're only responsible for those who are inside the church, members of the church. How can we know who's inside or outside the church without an official membership role? Okay? So they must have had it in that church, or he would not have talked about being within or without. Now, although there's no scriptural mandate for church membership, there is certainly nothing to prohibit it. It seems like the early church was structured in such a way that people clearly knew who was in and who was out of the church. Also, Hebrews 13:7, I want to point this verse out to you. "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account." Did you know that a pastor is accountable to God? I'm accountable to God on how I lead this church. Okay? The next phrase says, that they may do it with joy and not with grief or sorrow. For that is unprofitable for you. Okay? It's not for your benefit. Here's what you get. When you become a member of a church, you have somebody watching over your soul. You have somebody that's praying for you and here for you. And the Bible says that is a spiritual benefit of being a part of the church. You get to have a pastor. Now, I'm not perfect, but you got a pastor right here, okay? That wants to love you and care for you and be there for you. I've had three pastors in my life that I've been accountable to. Do you know you can make my ministry as your pastor a joy by being a passionate part of this church? That's what this verse talks about. And church membership is a statement of being united in love with a group of believers. Look at this scripture in Philippians 2, verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, church membership is just valuable. And I'm so glad to be a part of the church. Really, church membership is just simply saying something like this. I am a baptized believer. I believe God has led me to this church to love, to serve, and to support it. I want to identify with it, and I want to be accountable to it. That's what church membership is all about. And once you join, man, go ahead and just put your roots down. A common attitude toward church for many people is this. I'm here tentatively, at least for the immediate future, I think. Have you ever heard somebody talking like that? No, it's better, much better to say, I'm here, all of me, and I trust God with my future. And I'm just going to dig my tent stakes down and do something for God right here. All right, I just got a few points. They're not long. Okay, don't get scared. What passionate involvement in the local church looks like. Number one, we study God's Word together. A church family provides consistent Bible teaching. I talked about it last week. Here at Gospel Light, that comes through connection groups, Bible studies, preaching from the pulpit from me and the other pastors and guest pastors or preachers. The church family is called to grow spiritually, spurring one another on, encouraging one another. Scripture is powerful. Do y'all know that? 2 Timothy 3:16, read it with me. Ready? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. What's right? What's that? That's what's right, okay? Doctrine. For reproof, okay? I'll just give you a definition. That's what's not right. Okay, for correction, how to get right, and for instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. Now let's read it just straight through. Ready? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Word of God is going to teach us what's right, what's not right, how to get right, how to stay right. I love that scripture. We got to study God's Word together so we can know all those things. All right, number two, we honor God together through worship. Did you enjoy singing this morning? Singing is a unifying factor when believers worship God. The focus doesn't need to be on each other. The focus when we worship is toward God. We sing and praise Him together. We sing in the choir. Now, that's coming about. Now, come on, join us. Some of y'all want to hear the choir. Be a part of it. And we're looking forward to that. Psalm 34:3 emphasizes a call to corporate worship. It's okay to worship Him in private, but He also calls us to corporate worship as a church body. It says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." That means, man, let's all tell of the Lord's greatness. Man, we sing those songs, "How great is our God." You know what we did this morning? We magnify the Lord, and we did it together. And then the rest of it says, and let us exalt His name together. Man, there's something sweet about singing to Him. Also, giving financially. We took an offering this morning. That is an expression of worship. It's a way to offer up our lives to Him. When we tithe or give 10% of our income, we're telling God, God, I trust You All that I have belongs to you. And he'll take care of you with the 90% that you live on when you give him 10%. And you say, hey, God, all I have belongs to you. I'm trusting you even in 2024. When gas prices are high and inflation is rising, I'm still going to obey. I want to be a cheerful giver. You know what? You're going to be a cheerful giver as you trust God with your finances. He'll take care of you. You're going to invest in the local church where you are being fed spiritually. That's so important. That's the way God teaches. Also, another way is just praying together. I thought about that. That is an expression of worship when we pray together. Our midweek refresh services are so sweet. And we have a common bond because we sing together, we study God's word together, and we pray together. And I want to encourage you to come on Wednesday night. Be a part of prayer times. All right, number three, passionate involvement. It also includes accountability. The church provides a practical framework in order for us to be accountable. Once relationships grow and friendships form, there's someone to encourage you. Hey, there's even someone to rebuke you when necessary. When you get out of line, somebody that loves you enough says, hey, come on back. What are you thinking? Don't do that. And then there's going to be people in the church that are going to rejoice with you. What does Proverbs 27:17 says? Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We sharpen each other. And we're accountable to each other. It is crucial for us to be accountable to one another to overcome sin. And to, I'm telling you, church is a great place to find somebody to pray with, to talk to confide in. That's the importance of a church. Number four, we find support in adversity. Hey, I'm telling you, when trials come, and remember last week I spoke about all the trials we had had recently. You've got to have a support system when you're going through a mess. It's crucial. I've said before, and you've probably thought it too, what do people do without church? What do people do without Jesus, first of all? Amen. But then what do they do without a church family? See, when you have a need, you want your brothers and sisters to uphold you in prayer, to be there for you, to assist you in practical needs and helping out. And I appreciate this church so much for that. Galatians 6:2, simple verse, but I love it. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We care for one another. All right, number five, we connect with one another. Fellowship in the Bible means belonging to each other. We focused a lot on the one another's in the Bible here in 2024. Love one another. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another. Rejoice with one another. Serve one another. These are all in the Bible. Carry one another's burdens. Forgive one another. Encourage one another. Offer hospitality to one another. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another. Some of y'all have heard me preach on some of those. And I still got some more for the rest of the year. This church is not about programs or meetings. It's about sharing life together. We connect with each other. Don't wait for someone else to make the first move. Invite them into your life. And you say, preacher, that takes some effort. It does, but it's so worth it. Don't limit yourself to people just like you. We got a variety of people here, different personalities, different ways that they can help and be a blessing to you. Number six, we find opportunities to serve. Hey, we not only receive support in the church, but we give support as well. It's not just about receiving, it's about contributing, doing something. And when you're in close fellowship with other believers, we know when they're in need of support, need of prayer, we can step in practical ways. That's why a connection group is so important. Because it's impossible to know what's going on in the whole church. But when you're in a connection group, you find out about people's needs. And we can help one another out. Here's a good verse, Ephesians 6:7. With goodwill, you know what that means? Enthusiasm, passion, doing service to the Lord and not to men. Serving is spending yourself for something outside yourself. Serving is the fastest way to feel a sense of ownership in this church. It's a great way to build relationships, Being a part of this church is not a spectator sport. You got to contribute in some way. Contribute your gifts, your abilities, your talents in the church. And there are so many opportunities. I got two more. We share our passion with others. Hey, when you're passionate about something, you automatically try to get other people excited about it. When you're passionate about your church, you can't keep it inside. It's going to spill over. And you're going to invite others to come visit. Some of y'all do great at this. All of us need to do better. The local church is God's primary way to reach the lost world. Y'all believe that? That's our primary job. Recently, one of our teens, Julius, where are you? There he is. He was invited to church by Devin Lindsay. Is Devin here today? Okay. Julius got saved. When he first came to our youth group, he told Colton, "I'm an atheist." Woo! But he got under the sound of God's word, heard the truth about Jesus. Holy Spirit started working in his heart, and he got saved. Amen? And he got baptized just recently. How many were there for that? And we rejoiced together. All right? Well, guess who came that day to see him get baptized? His mom and daddy. Boy, I'm about to cry. Amen? Now, ever since that day, Josh and Samantha have been coming. Josh had already been saved, but he wants to get scripturally baptized real soon. But then this morning in my office, Samantha gave her heart to Jesus. So now, hallelujah. So now Julius is on his way to heaven. His daddy's on his way to heaven, already was saved, but getting things right, getting back in church. And now Samantha's on her way to heaven. His brothers Jacob and Jaden, let's pray for their salvation, and that'll come in time once they understand. But aren't you glad that God is just working in those ways in our church and using a teenager son to lead his family back in church? Woo, I praise the Lord for that. And they say they feel loved here, they feel accepted, and they just say there's something different about your church. And that is the Holy Spirit of God. And now the Holy Spirit of God has been able to work in their hearts. It thrills my heart. So we've got to reach the unchurched or the unsaved around us. And God is drawing people to himself. And a lot of times, he's already working on their hearts, and that's all they need is a little invitation. So let's do our part. Just invite them to church. You never know what God's going to do. Just like Devin inviting his friend. Man, that thrills my heart. But that's what Friend Day is all about. All right, now last one, number 8, we make disciples. Do you know you can be used of God to reach, teach, win, and develop people? Matthew 28:18-20. Now you know this, say it with me, ready? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations," that means make disciples, keep going, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them," teach these new disciples, ready, "to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." I recently watched a movie entitled The Forge, F-O-R-G-E. How many have heard about it? It's one of the Christian movies by the Kendrick brothers, okay, that they've made Facing the Giants and Courageous and Fireproof. That movie showed the importance of discipling and mentoring. And boy, I believe we need to do a better job of this here at Gospel Light. You're going to hear more about this in the coming days. And I'd love to for everyone to see that, The Forge. All right, let me just put this in a nutshell. I don't know about you, but the church is not just an option for me. You say, "Preacher, you're the pastor." Church should not be an option for you either, okay? It's a lifeline. It's something I look forward to. There are so many that come on Wednesday night that say, "Man, I can't wait to get to Wednesday night. It's been a rough week. They need to be refreshed in the middle of the week." I know many of you look forward to coming here Sunday. That's awesome. I'm excited to come here and serve my Lord. I'm also passionate about standing for life at a Love Life prayer walk or on the sidewalk ministry. You know what we're doing? We're not only representing Jesus, we're representing Gospel Light Baptist Church. I love it when our church serves a meal at Straight Street. We were supposed to last night, and they had to cancel. So we'll do it again soon. But we're ministering to people. We're representing our church. I love it when our church, I'll tell you, it's just mind-blowing to see our church prepare and send off 695 shoeboxes to Operation Christmas Child, like we did last year. Or when we take a special offering for someone in need, like we're going to do today as you leave. Or we raised almost $10,000 through our baby bottle campaign, supporting Blue Ridge Women's Center. You know what? When you give to that, you're representing Jesus, yes, but you're also representing our church. And then how we join together every year at Bible school. I mean, we have workers galore, and it's a blessing. We're joining together to do something like that. And how we give to missions, and we support 25 missionaries or ministries. I'm happy to say I'm married to the church. I'm married to her, but I'm also married to the church. I wonder if you feel the same way. Will you make church a priority? Not just out of convenience, when you can make it. Man, we build our lives out of our priorities. Therefore, everything else ought to flow around the church. Not let church flow around everything else. Did you get it? Now, you know this scripture. Say it with me. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. The Lord's return is very near. So he's telling us, what should we be doing till the Lord returns? Get in church and get active. Get fully immersed. Don't neglect meeting together. Some don't make attending church a priority. That's what this verse says. But he's saying don't be affected by them. You be in church. You get excited about it. You get passionate about it. Share it with others. And just see what God can do. Now, if you are interested in church membership, we got a gift for you, a book that I'd love to give to you. You read over our doctrinal statement. Make sure we're in agreement doctrinally. And then I look forward to getting together, answering any question that you might have. Then if you believe it is the will of God, that God is leading you to our church, you're ready to take this step, you can join our church. Three ways. You can transfer your membership from another church of like faith. We're going to see that here in a moment. Or you can join by statement of faith. Hey, I've read over your doctrinal statement. I agree with what this church agrees. Or then you can join by baptism. That means you've been saved recently, and you can join the church when you get baptized. Those three ways.